Alright, so I'm saying avot these days. The same theme. Weiss am Mordig Ashtukl. Nowadays they have. Whatever. Last week's parasha said Yeshua is a para Adam. I heard this by the kids already. No, you were there? It says Yeshua is a para Adam. A para Adam. A wild person. How if you live, we know it's from Akdashim say that the fifth there's four goluses, but Lamaisa, and the fourth exile that we have to endure before Mashiach comes, you have a fifth golus. And that fifth golus is golus Yishmael. The golus of the Arabs, of Islam or whatever. So Lamaisa, the klipa we're fighting with, the tumma that we're fighting, the tumma Yishmael, the tumma of Yishmael, the tumma of the Arabs. That's the final design, final test and goalless exile we have to go through and get past in order for Mashiach to come. It says, the Torah, when introducing Yishmael, calls him a para Adam. A para Adam means a wild person. It's Yidua, the pshat from the Maharal Diskin. The Maharal Diskin says that normally in Lashon Kodesh you have the noun and then the adjective follows the noun. Right? We're going to say a green grass, the ace of Yorick. Grass, green. The adjective follows the noun. In most languages, except for English, that's the way it is. However, by para Adam, it's para means wild, and Adam means a person. It should say Adam para. It should say a person who's wild, Adam para. But it says para Adam. First it says the adjective para, which means wild, and then afterwards Adam. So Maharal Diskin explained that the truth is that Yishmael is not really an Adam. Yishmael is not a wild person. Chat is that the noun of what Yishmael is wildkeit, is being wild. It happens to be that the adjective, it's a person, but its wildness is metzitz. And the description is that it's in the tzura, in the form of a person. But Yishmael's a pshat is wildkeit, wild. And that he's in the tzura of a person, it looks like an individual. So this is the adjective following the noun, is not true. In this case, the adjective is man, and the noun is wild. And the pshat is like this, what's wild? Wild means that there's no gvula. A person doesn't have boundaries. A person doesn't limit it into normal things. Certain things are accepted in society. A person does this and he doesn't do that. And he goes this far but not any further than that. Wildkeit, being wild, is a pshat that you don't recognize the reality of these limits. You don't have to deal with the normal limitations in society, things, what they tell you, what's proper, what's not proper. It's wild. Your teacher says to sit, so you stand. The teacher says you have to stand, so you sit. If you have to do homework, you say, not interested. That's wild, wildkeit. So the ticket of that is that if that inside a tumah, Yishmael is wild, wild. That's the tumah that Yishmael is. So inside a kedusha, the way to menatzeich, the way to victorious against Yishmael is also to have the wildkeit, the wildness inside a kedusha, the wildness inside a tov. What that means is a person can't make so many cheshbonos in life. You know, how many people I've asked some people to come and learn. Yeah, that's what I do. Trying to get people to learn Torah. Come. Increase the love of Torah, Vedas Hashem. You always have the same excuse. That's a guy, why don't you come and learn? Oh, I'm so busy with my work, whatever it is. I have to be with my kids, I have to brush their teeth, I have to put them to bed, and my wife, and everybody has all these wonderful, amazing excuses why they can't come to learn. Or why don't you come to daven in a minyan? Come daven shachar. I have to be at work on time. Avada, you have to be at work on time. And it's accepted thing, and a person has to help out his wife, and a person has to put his kids to bed, and a person has to do whatever he has to do. But a certain wildkeit, which means, alright, I have to do what I have to do. But this comes to a point in time where you just have to break the boundaries and say to a certain degree that I have to do what I have to do in life, but I have to learn, and that's much more important, and I can't let the limitations bother me, and I can't let the limitations put me in a box where I can't be successful anymore in the Vaitis Hashem. You know, that's wildkeit, that's wildness, Hashem Kedusha. A person will be wild, a person will be take the boundaries and limitations and throw them in the garbage and say, I'm not bound by these normal things. I have to abide by these normal societal limitations because I have Kedusha and I have to be wild about my Kedusha. That's the word I'm verkaufing these days. That's the word I'm selling these days. Shalas, the person has to be wild for Kedusha. You can't live your life in limitations. You have to be able to expand limitations. You know, mitzad ha-tuma, it's all the impurity that exists in the world. They're always, I think they're called pushing the envelope. Pushing, they're stretching a little more, right? What used to be accepting, I haven't seen a television in 20 years probably. 15 years. But from what I understand, what is on there now is like It's not the Lone Ranger. Not that I was alive when the Lone Ranger was on. But the fact is that it's much worse than I ever used to be. And every single day, it's worse and worse and push the envelope a little further, a little further, a little further. So by us also, we have to push the envelope a little more inside of Kedusha. We have to push the envelope a little further. Now daven a 5 minute Shema Achidish, a 5 minute Shema Esser, or a 6 minute, or 6 and a half minute Shema Esser. Push the envelope a little further. Be more Zohar in Hilchus Shabbos, and more Zohar in Tefillah, and more Zohar in Torah, whatever it is. But if there's pushing the envelope inside of Tumah all the time, you can push the envelope a shtickle inside of Kedusha also. Some wildkite for Kedusha, some wildness for Kedusha, we're not limited by boundaries anymore. You know, there was this, the big shayla, there's a thing called ISIS. The huge, terrible Arabs who are taking over the world, or not taking over the world, I don't care. Whatever it is, they're bad guys. And they're in Syria, and they're here, and they're in Lebanon, and they're in Chicago, I don't know where they are. But Lamaisa, you have this American, the Chachmei America, who is wondering, in the Chachmei HaWest, in the Western world, who is wondering, what is the pshat? Why are there people who are joining ISIS, these barbaric animals, whatever they are? Why is it that a Western guy growing up in the Western culture in America or in France or in England or wherever, why are these guys joining ISIS, such a terrible, barbaric whoever? And they can't figure out the answers. They're troubled children. The answer is so pashut. The answer is so simple. And I don't, and the pshat is that nobody can think of the answers because they're so obsessed with themselves. But the answer is, they're offering something of meaning. That's the pshat. In America, you know, I grew up in Miami, right? I grew up in Miami, and the general world is focused on what is the tachlis of life, what's the goal of life. You know, my father, may he live and be well, Shabbat Shalom, whatever. My father told me, you know, when I was a kid, when I was about 14 years old, I asked my father, I said, Dad, my father had a nice car, a nice fancy BMW convertible, red convertible. And we're sitting in his car and we're driving around. And I said, Dad, if anybody knows my father now, it's hard to imagine that's what he used to be like. But I was with my father and I said, Dad, I said, what are you doing in life exactly? Like, what are you doing with yourself? So he told me, what do you mean? I said, what's the goal of this whole, what's the goal of this? What are we doing exactly? So he says, what do you mean? I go to work, and it was a CPA. I worked very, very, very hard my whole life. And I said, why do you go to work every day? He said, well, I have to make money so I can support you and your sister, you know, and pay for your education, pay for your college, whatever. I never went to college, but he said, pay for your college. I said, okay, so, and then when I go to college and I get it, what am I going to do? So you're also going to work hard, you know, to support your children so they can get a degree and get an education. And then what are they going to do? And they said, they're also going to go in and get a degree. So I said, Dad, is there an end game to what we're doing? I said, I don't know, I'm too busy supporting you to think about it. So it's true, it's actually happened. I'm too busy working, I can't think about this. The pshat is that the world's not offering anything. The Western world, Western civilization, not offering anything. They're not offering anything. They're not offering any ideal, anything to live for, anything to get up in the morning for, except Vita to put another post on Facebook about how now I'm eating ice cream with the rainbow sprinkles. I don't know, whatever. No, not that I have Facebook, but that's like, or send a tweet about I'm driving down the 95. That's the goal of life. You wake up in the morning, that's it. You say, my Daniel Fanagel, and you send a tweet that I have brushed my teeth. That's the Western world is offering us, right? So then if somebody says, and they're offering this religious world, creating an ideal state of whatever, barbarism, it's something at least, something to live for, something to get up in the morning, something excited about, some ideal to push myself to. So by me, it's not a chiddush at all. People are willing to leave the Western world to go there because they're offering something. They're offering meaning. They're offering some sort of fulfillment in life, dedication to a higher ideal. No matter how barbaric and evil that ideal might be, but the whole apocalypse, they're offering something. We have to push to believe in something going on in life, and we're part of a cause, we're part of a dedication. We have to push ourselves to have the fulfillment in life to realize something way much beyond what's going on in this world. That's a clip of Yishmael. The clip of Yishmael is meaningless atatuma. Being able to inspire somebody to do crazy stuff, to go blow yourself up for the sake of Islam, whatever. Says that they're offering something. That's the klipa, is that we have to be able to give up ourselves also for Kedusha. We have to be able to wake up 10 minutes earlier to put on tefillin before Shacharis, you know, so we don't miss half of Pesuk Dezimra. We get it right by Baruch, whatever it is. It's also push ourselves beyond the limits. Push ourselves beyond the limits because then I'll go and I'll make brachas with the Shtikum HaKavana. I'll say, Maydi Ani with whatever, and I'll be Makanat Zbik Lashon Hara. at least once, twice a day, whatever. Push the limits a little further, a little wild, a little wild to go past the boundaries. This parasha learned the Akedah. What's the Akedah all about? The Akedah is that according to certain shittas, I said this word over a couple times, but it's a good shtickle. It's also the same word pattern. That the Akedah says that Yishmael was making fun of Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu had a bris milah when he was 8 days old. Yishmael says, oh, you think you're so chashuv, you had a bris milah when 8 days old. I had a bris milah when I was 13. You think it's so great, look at me. And he had a certain, he held of himself, I had a bris milah, I was 13. You know, you were 8, you were a baby, you didn't even know, you didn't even choose. I'm much more chashuv than you. So then Hashem Yisbarach said, Yishmael, you think you're so much better than him. I'll tell you what. If I go and I ask Yishmael, if I ask Yitzchak to sacrifice not one aver, not one limb, not one piece of foreskin, whatever, but to sacrifice his whole life, he's willing to do it. And that's why Hashem said, Avraham Avinu, go to Yitzchak, bring us a carbon, and sacrifice him, because Yitzchak would give up his whole life. The pshat is that we have to be willing for ourselves in life to defeat Yishmael, to defeat this Yishmael, the Arabs, the whole Metzias that is existing against us, to destroy us. It comes by self-sacrifice. Wanting to give one up. Give oneself up. You want to give oneself up. To give up from yourself. Give up from your comforts. Give up from whatever it is. Give up from sleeping, however much you're sleeping, and giving up from, you know, I don't know, to push yourself, to make a shugum or kavan and brachas, to learn Torah a little bit more, to mevater a little bit on working, in order you should be able to learn Torah and daven properly, mavater the minyan kedabai, like it's supposed to be. Now, we live in a world of extremism. If you ever, like, look on the news or whatever, there's Muslim extremists, and there's Christian extremists, and there's Armenian extremists, and there's secular extremists, and there's national extremists, and there's communist extremists, and everybody's extreme, right? Why is everybody extreme? Because it's telling us we also have to be extreme. We have to be extremists. And extremists doesn't mean to take an AK-47 and start blowing up a mosque. What it means is that what we do, we have to be extreme. Whatever we do, we extreme in limud ha-Torah. That means when a person comes in and learns Torah, person learns metchil v'atzoyf, that shmuzing, that shtusim v'havol, and about Facebook, and about whatever, I don't know the other things that exist. But when a person's sitting and learning, so you're sitting and learning. When you're davening, you're sitting and davening. You're not thinking about business. You're not thinking about what you're going to do in work, and how you're going to sell your tchatchka, and this thing, and the other thing. Extreme about davening, extreme about tefillah, extreme about tefillah, extreme about brachas, extreme about not speak lashon hara, extreme about shalom bayis, extreme about chinuch habanim, extreme about zrizis and zirnak din mitzvahs, extreme about mitzvahs and sukkah and all the inyan we just dealt with, and going to Chanukah, extreme about near Chanukah. That extremism that we have to have about who we are, what we exist, and what we represent, that goof is the biggest tikkun and the hisnagdus and the bittul of the klipa, the dealing in life. Anyway, okay, Adka. There's a Merdeke Shtuk I saw years ago from Moshe Wolfson. I've said over parts of it before, but I didn't say over all of it. In the parsha we have, could be last week's parsha. Let's not get this week's parsha. In Perek Yud Dalet Pasuk Tes Vav, last week's parsha Lech Lecha, we had the Melchome, the war of the five kings and the four kings. Then Avraham Avinu comes and he fights against the four Malachim to go ahead and get light and save him from there in order to whatever, to save him because he was his family, whatever. So the Rambam says that the four kings represent the four galuses, the four exiles that we have to deal with, that Klai Yisrael has to go through before Mashiach comes, right? We had the first galus of Bavel, the Babylonian galus. Then we had Paras Hamadai, a Persian galus. Exile, and then we had the Greek exile. Now we have the Roman exile. Now maybe the Ishmael exile. But Pshat is that there's four general exiles, galuses, that we have to deal with. And it says that the four kings that Avraham Avinu was fighting against represent the four Malchis, the four kingships, the four exiles that we had to deal with until the end. You see, Masha Dov and Neira. The Pasuk says that he ran after him. It says, V'yicholik alayhem l'aylav hu v'avota v'yakeh. Now, Avraham Avinu went, and the world, whatever, he split the camp among the night split. him and his servants went ahead and they fought against the kings. They ran after them until Choiva, Shemismel, that's on the left side of Damasek, of Damascus. But you see, the last place they got to find them defeated was a place called Choiva. Choiva was the city, you know, was the place where they fought them at the way end. Choiva was the last place they got. So Meshul Wolfson said, Mamsha Dover Neira in the Sefer Munisitacha, and he said that there's a minig, the Zohar Kodesh says, when a person, after a person eats and he washes Mayim Achreinim, he says, Mayim Achreinim Choiva. So it's a halacha, Mayim Achreinim Choiva, Mayim Achreinim is a chiv, you have to wash Mayim Achreinim. But the Zohar Kodesh, if it was Fadim, Mayim Achreinim Choiva, Mayim Achreinim Chova, and they say it, Mayim Achreinim, they wash their hands. The Zohar Kodesh says, the pshat, why people say Mayim Achreinim Choiva, is a pshat because there's a klipa kasha, very bad power of tumah, of impurity in the world called Choiva, that has the ability to go ahead and destroy a person's emuna, take away a person's emuna. And Rav Meir Shulfson said, that's the pshat it says, that they're melach sdoim. It said the reason why you have to wash your achreinim is melach sdoim, a certain salt that came from sdoim. They'll blind your eyes. So vada means will blind your eyes, but it's much more than just blinding your eyes. The pshat is that it will blind your eyes, meaning your eyes, your spiritual eyes, from seeing emuna, from seeing kedusha, that will become this battle, become ruined. This klip called choiva. And says that's the last chayv, that klipa called chayv is the last fight we have to have. From the darkening of our eyes, from lacking emuna, that's the last fight we have to have. That's chayv, mayim achreinim chayv, and that's what it is. Avram Vino defeated them at chayv. Therefore, the place called chayv, which was the makam of kfira, a makam of ra, a makam of heresy, of non-emuna, that's where Avram Vino had to beat them finally. I'm going to say the word, I said it over a bunch of times, but my, the shir was said after this. The shir was called, seeing Hashem from afar, it's kedai to see this anyway. That Avraham Avinu, it says, the last Nisoyan that he had, which according to Rashi and the Rambam, the last Nisoyan, last test Avraham Avinu had to pass, was the 10th test called, was the Akedus Yitzchak. He had to bring Yitzchak as a korban to Hashem. And the last, this is the last, as this sealed the fact that Avraham Avinu was going to be the father of Klai Yisrael. And it says, what was the, you know, they asked the question, I've said over so many times this word, but I get chizik every time I say it, is that what was the big test? It's not like I tapped somebody on the shoulder and said, listen, my name is Aaron David Singer, and I command you to go take your son and bring him as a korban. It's the Rebbeinu Shalaila. Hashem himself came to Avraham Avinu. Now if Hashem said, take your son, and bring him as a korban. So, ooh, that was the biggest sign of all. I don't know, if Hashem Israel came to me and said, yo, Aaron David, take your kid, Yitzchak, Simchazi, whoever it is, bring him as a korban wherever I show you. I'd say, you know, you got it. And I would go ahead and do it. You know, what was the big nesayin for Avraham Avinu? What was the big nesayin? So I mean, I love my kids, but so the Zohar Kodesh says, the pasuk is very simokim yiroch, you can sell a place from afar, from far away. I've said it over so many times this word, but so, but the choyva part is the ikar. Pshat is that Hashem Yisbarach, Hashem Yisbarach, it says, mokim means Hashem Yisbarach. Hashem, I've ever saw Hashem from far away. Then the sign is seeing Hashem from far away. He took all of Avram's madrigas, took them away from him. He took away all his madrigas, said, you Avram Avinu, you go serve me, you go do this, the sign, this test, you pass it, as a regular guy. Not as Avram Avinu, but as Abraham, or whoever, a regular guy. And you pass the 10th Nisayin, seeing Hashem Merochik, seeing Hashem from far away. If you can pass the Nisayin, then you're victorious. In the same way, there's a 10th Nisayin that made Avraham Avinu be the father of Klai Yisrael, the Jewish people that would bring Mashiach, the world to his fruition. In the same way, that was why he fought them until Choiva. Choiva was a mokim of Choshech, a mokim of darkness, a mokim of kfir, a mokim of heresy, a mokim of rishus and ra and Choshech and all bad stuff. And Davka there, Avraham Avinu was able to go ahead and be victorious in the war. And that's us, the 10th generation before Mashiach comes. The 10th generation, the 10th test, the final test of Avraham Avinu is our final test of Klai Yisrael, where we live in a world of Cheshech, we live in a world of darkness, where a person can live their whole life without learning about the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, without learning about Hashem, without having enemies of Amunah, Torah. And the same thing applies even to a person who's Shema Torah mitzvahs. I remember years ago, I wasn't there, but when Rabbi Englander gave a set by Mishma, I heard it from Rabbi Schmelzer afterwards. But in England, he said, Mishma, I had nothing against him, I just thought, I'm sure he was here, so I went to go hear him. And, you know, and somebody asked a person, a yid, from a yid, a yeshiva man, he said, when was the last time you thought about Hashem? I said, who has time to think about Hashem after waking up in the morning, after daven, I have to learn, I have to be because of Moses, I have to make brachas. Who has time to think about Hashem? I'm so busy. Right? Did you say that?
A long time ago.
But the pshat is that even a person shomer Torah mitzvahs, does all the good, makes brachas, gevaldig, davens, all the kavanas, could be all the comes the rashash and the ariyah kodesh, whatever. We're not thinking about Hashem. Hashem's like, you know, a secondary thought. Who wants to think about Hashem? I'm too busy doing a vayitz Hashem to think about Hashem. We live in a world of kvira, of darkness, of blindness upon our eyes. And dafka, we metar ourselves, makadish ourselves to see Hashem, even merochek. Our madrigs are so distant, far away from Hashem, we have to push ourselves even further. And dafka, find Hashem, dafka in the chayishik, and we do that, you reach the highest madrigas. So by Yitzchak Vin, it says his eyes, this is my own shtickle. So therefore, there's no reason to believe that it's true. But somebody might get his ears from it. That Yitzchak Avinu says, but he was giving the brachas to Yaakov later on. Pashas told us, so, I think. So it says that Yitzchak was blind. His eyes were blind. Rashi brings three pshatim why his eyes were lacking the koyach of vision. One thing Rashi says, was that by the Akedah, this week's Pasha, by the Akedah, the Shemayim opened up. And the Malachim saw that Yitzchak Avinu was going to buy a korban, and the Malachim cried, and those tears entered the eyes of Yitzchak Avinu, and that made him blind. Right, it's one of the pshatim Rashi brings. The tears from the Malachim entered his eyes and made him blind. Now the Chassam Sofer says, a davar neiru, which I'm just telling you to this Rashi. The Chassam Sofer says that the reason why Yitzchak Avinu couldn't see in this world is that Yitzchak Avinu was so makbid about Shmir Sainayim. Yitzchak Avinu was so careful not to look at all the impurities that exist in the world, but to cover one's eyes and to guard his eyes. He shouldn't see all the bad stuff of the world. His eyes became so heilig and so kodesh, his eyes became so pure that he couldn't see physicality anymore. That's what means he was blind. It wasn't that he lost the koyach of vision. His vision had raised such a degree of kedusha that he couldn't see physicality. He couldn't see the physical world anymore. That's what I mean. Yitzchak Avinu was blind. We have to be the same way. You know, Yitzchak Avinu is the site of the geula, the ma'isa in Chazal, ma'isa in the Gemara and Shabbos. That thank you, Rabbi Engelder. I found Gemara and Shabbos. And Yitzchak Avinu says that whatever all the whole cheshbon goes, all ma'isa, the olis and Hashem Yisbach. And Yitzchak Avinu, at the end of the day, he takes a Christ, takes the responsibility that the Gula is going to come because of him. Yitzchak Avinu is the one who's responsible for the Gula, for the redemption of Klal Yisrael. And Yitzchak Avinu makes perfect sense, because the Gula, the last stage amongst the Gula, is fighting against the Chesed, the darkness of fear of heresy. To believe in Hashem, believe in Hashgacha Pratis. And Yitzchak Avinu is the one who is so careful with his einayim, his eyes, to guard them, they shouldn't see the tomb and the impurity of this world. So in the same way, he acts to the greatest Amunah. There is Amunah connected all the greatest Cheshach, there is light of Amunah, that's how we're able to reach to the Geula. We have to mechazak ourselves in the nice Amunah, mechazak ourselves in the belief in Hashem Yisbarach, mechazak ourselves in just to push ourselves and wait to Hashem to the highest Madrigas. Avraham Avinu was Meiser Nefesh, we have in this week's parasha. Avraham Avinu was Meiser Nefesh, he was risked his life to go ahead and save light. Right? He risked life to go ahead and find light, to save light. Why is it so yisaitistic? Why is it so essential to find light? What is the kshivus of light? If anyone fought four kings, four malachim, four kingdoms, armies, whatever, he went in there just to save light. So I heard from years ago from my Mashgiach, Reb Shimon Groner, Zichrani Livracha. He said, it's a pashup shap, it's a big hisaitis. Is that light represents out of himself the geula, as we know. Light had two daughters, and Light, through his two daughters, the descendants of his two daughters end up being the Malach HaMashiach, because the Vav HaMashiach comes from Yehuda, but Dovid HaMelech was the descendant of Rus. Rus came from Moav. Moav was the child of the relation between Light and one of his daughters, and they've invited her, was that Shlomo HaMelech, Dovid HaMelech married Nam HaAmonis. And she came from Ammon, which was from the other daughter. So Shlomo HaMelech came from the other daughter of Light. That same relation that later with his other daughter. And Melech HaMashiach did come from David HaMelech to Shlomo HaMelech and from their descendants. So you see from there that Light, Lamaisa, Metzad, and both Stadim, but both of his daughters, the son of Melech HaMashiach came Davka through Light. The tachlis of it all, the end of the day, the end game of it all is Melech HaMashiach. The end of it all is Melech HaMashiach. tachlis of all of Avodah, the tachlis of everything, of the 6,000 years that we're going to exist in life, or hopefully less. The whole pshat is that the start of Adam Rishon, Adam Rishon ends with Melech HaMashiach, and the tachlis of everything, Bnei Beis HaMikdash, Shemes HaAvodah, and His Galus, and Kfayt Shemayim, the Aragonis, and all the other good things. And it's interesting to note that where was Melech HaMashiach? Where was those, the roots of Melech HaMashiach? You think they're in Yerushalayim, maybe? Maybe they're in Mabish, Olam HaKemes, HaKadoshim, Chevron, I don't know. Sdoim, the worst of the worst. Sdoim is the lowest of all Madrigas. And the reason why we have Melech Sdoim, the soul of Sdoim is the one that blinds our eyes. The Klipa of Ran Choshech is in Sdoim. And where's Melech HaMashiach? Where is he? Where did he come from? What's the Shesh? What's the roots? Davka in Sdoim. The Pshat is that when we have Choshech, we have darkness, and we think that it's difficult, we're never going to surpass it, it's the exact opposite. Davka, those dark times, the times when mamish, a person's feeling, there's nowhere to turn, it's so hard, where am I going to go? Davka, that cheshek, that darkness, that's the biggest oiris, the biggest lights, the biggest hischaskas, biggest inspiration, and godless, and growth, and turn of Eitz Hashem, is davka there in the cheshek. The Melech HaMashiach was managed to tap us on the entire world of goal, of everything. From Adam Arisha and Biz, Melech HaMashiach, that's it, the whole life, the whole history of the world is just to get to that point. And where to exist? Davka and Stoy. A place of biggest ra. The biggest choshech, the biggest darkness, the worst part of it, everything. Davka and Stoim, because that's where all the eris last. Davka and the mokum of choshech, of darkness, we last in now, then gufa is where all the eris come from. So when we walk around, we think to ourselves, oh, nice, we'll never be, we're not erlach that used to be erlach, we're not tzaddikim that used to be tzaddikim, we're not. But davka us, even the deepest choshech, that's gufa where the biggest eris come from, that's the biggest time where Mashiach is going to come. Murdik is chas, because it's his parasha from Loit, Davka and Sdoim. Miami is pretty bad, but it's not Sdoim. The pshat is that we can be mechazik ourselves, Davka in Miami, Davka in Komisach of Choshech, of darkness. Mechazik is a push us, grow and shtag mamish, and get the highest madragas in turn of Eitz Tashem. Loit, I'm sure it says it somewhere, but Loit, in Aramaic, in Aramish, a light is a curse. Right? Abai was light, he cursed people. Lamites, the shirsh lamites, which is light, comes from curse. You know, lamites malachis, there's lamites malachis, which all comes the klala of Adam Arishan, of Bezei Sapecha Teichalecha, and there's lamites, 30, a person doesn't have vera, you have lamites malchis, you can hit 39 times. Because the lamites is klala, ra, rishis, evil, bad, punishments, ancient. Mitzad sheni loit, if you flip it around, it's tal. And it says the loss of love Mashiach comes, tchias amesim, going to come from the tal. The certain dew, the tal, the dew that comes from Shemaim is going to cause tchias amesim. The biggest klala, loit, exists inside of himself, Melech HaMashiach. The pshat is loit, when you're mahapich, you switch it around, you take the curse, you turn it into bracha. Instead of loit, lamites, becomes tal. The tal iris. What tal iris is going to go back to Shem Hashem. The tal is going to come into Shemaim, tchias amesim, that goof is going to bring Melech HaMashiach, the biggest. Marish Brach is ever going to come. Davka from the light, Davka from the curse of light, in Stoin is going to come the Tal Eiris. Tais Madregas of Eiris, Mamish and Avedis Hashem. Right. Even more than that, Stoin was so horrible, you know, Arem is a Dover. Is that Stoin, we know, Stoin was anti-chesed. Anti-chesed. Now all this crazy mice that happened in Stoin, and they had a chas orchim, and the beds were too long, and too small, they stretched their legs, they cut off their legs. And a girl did chesed, and they put, I don't know, honey on her, and they fed her to the bees. I don't know, all these crazy stories. Anti-chesed. What is the anti-chesed? Why are you anti-chesed? Who's against kindness? Tell you, this is my pshat, so you have to think about it many, many times before being a Kabbalah. Is that says, far makadeshim, that we say, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Right? In Shemoneh Esrei, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Yaakov. So, it says, you might think, you must sign with them. Oh, the Gemara says, you might think that when you make the bracha, you say, bracha to Hashem again, magen Avram, elke Avram, elke Yitzchak, elke Yaakov. It says, no, b'cho chesmen. With you, Avram Avinu, b'cho chesmen, you, that's the seam of the bracha. So, Sfar Makadoshim, bring a remez, b'cho chesmen, you, Avram Avinu, with you, we're chesmen, with you, we sign, we end it all. They say, I heard this from a Tzvi Zilberberg in Yerushalayim, b'cho chesmen, z'apshat, the chesima. The end of the whole world is going to be come from the Koyach of Chesed. B'chol Chesed, you Avram Avinu, Midas HaChesed. B'chol Chesed, Davka, you the Koyach of Avram Avinu, that's the Chesima. The seal of the entire world comes the Koyach of Avram Avinu. Now, since the Koyach of Chesed is what brings Mashiach, the tachas of kol ayim kula is minis Avraham Avinu. There's Melech HaMashiach that comes b'chol chayismin. With you, Avraham Avinu, the koyach of chesed, being kind to others, the encourages ma'isim toivim kind to Hashem is more kind to Klai Yisrael. Davka and Sdoim, where they're so connected Melech HaMashiach, because the soid of the gul existed in there, Davka there connected chesed. Because b'chol chayismin, with the koyach of chesed, and Mashiach is going to come. And Sdoim was so anti-Mashiach, so anti-Kedusha, is also to do chesed and Sdoim. Because they were manea, trying to make the koyach, to manea, to prevent the koyach of Mashiach from coming. Weiter. Avraham Avinu was parallel, you see that Avraham Avinu was parallel with davening for Sdoim, that they should be okay. Right, davening for Sdoim. The first thing he said was, there should be 50 people, right? If there's 50 people, Hashem, it's 50 tzaddikim, you're going to save them? Hashem said, yeah. So Avraham said, how about 45? Fine. 35? 30? 40? Yeah. 20? 10? So it was 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. If you add them all together, it's 195. So I heard this from him. I saw this from Meisher Wolfson, who quoted his son-in-law, Ramat Zilber, the Shina Rebbe. And he said that Sdoim was so ra, was so evil and so horrible, that Avraham Avinu, when a tzaddik is mispalel, every time a tzaddik, Avraham Avinu, when he would daven for Hashem, and he said, whether it's 50 tzaddikim or 45 tzaddikim, he actually accomplished with his davening the words themselves that he created. He was machzir people with tshuva and Sdoim. He said 50 people, 50 tzaddikim, 50 tzaddikim became in Sdoim. So 45 is another 45. So well, 40 is another 40 tzaddikim. Every word that Avraham Avinu said was goyim his areas of tshuva, and people changed. So Adwal gets 195. So when later on, when all of them came to Sdoim, they all came. This was special. When all the bad guys came to Sdoim to go ahead and defeat, to go and take the two daughters of Lot, to take the guests of Lot, and Lot offered them his daughters, because he was trying to be Menei Mashiach also. But it says, the pasuk says, Menarvat Zokin, they all came, Menarvat Zokin, from youth to old, Kol Ami Kotze. The whole nation from all the sides. Mikotze is Gematria, Mikotze is 195. Even those 195 tzaddikim that Avraham Avinu was piled to exist in Stoim, they also became Rav Rishoyim, also they also came to go and destroy Melech HaMashiach from coming. Right. He has also Bavi Melech, but we're not going to get into it. Yitzchak Avinu is the Kayach. It says that the idea of Tchias HaMeisim came into the world by Yitzchak Avinu. It says that Yitzchak Avinu actually died on the Akedah, and then Tchias HaMeisim was recreated and came back again. Yitzchak Avinu actually died on by the Akedah and was recreated at Tchias HaMeisim. And the idea of the resurrection of the dead existed, Davka, started from Yitzchak Avinu. I'm starting to avoid from Pachin Yitzchak, and I think I got a lot of his areas out of it, but we'll see if anybody else does also. Is that there's different kreiches. Every Av, every father we had in Klai Yisrael, Yitzchak, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, each one has a certain chiddush they created in the world. And the Maya said, the big thing that we know about Yitzchak Avinu was he did the Akedah. The biggest thing he did the Akedah. But the Maya said, the Akedah never happened. Right? What happened? Save Zayf. He got it, he bound it himself. And then Hashem said, no, don't do it. And he got free and he went down. So the biggest thing that he did in his life, he didn't even ever do it. Didn't even accomplish it. Didn't even do it. He went and he tried, and then Hashem said, take him down, and he went back down. In Pachin Yitzchak it says, from Yitzchak Hutner Zichron Livrocha, that the koyach of Yitzchak Avinu is to try your hardest, to push and push and push, and not to accomplish anything. And still keep on pushing. That's Yitzchak Avinu. Avraham Avinu was Makarev, people was Makarev, Gerim, all wonderful things. Yaakov Avinu, Torah, and all the things Yaakov Avinu did. Yitzchak Avinu was, you try, and you'd manage the biggest thing you ever do, and don't even do it, don't even accomplish it. And to still serve Hashem, b'toich, not accomplish it. We all love to accomplish. We love to learn Daf Gemara, and you make a statement on Gemara, whatever. Yitzchak Avinu was to work hard. It's many, many rides to the Yisrael. It's not just this one thing. But Yitzchak Avinu was to try and try and try and to not be successful. And still try again. Pshat Tchias HaMeisim is that a person, you know, I was in Hollywood last Thursday night, and I was speaking to somebody, whatever. And we said some Torah from Rav Nachman, and there's a guy there, and he said, you know what, I never connected very much with Breslov. I said, okay, so why not? Because Rav Nachman always talks about not having Yish. I never even had a havamin of having Yish. So I told him, not a havamin, whatever word he used. I never thought of having Yish before. You know, what am I having Yish for? So I told the guy, I don't know, maybe it wasn't nice what I said. I said, let me tell you something. I said, if you're trying to serve Hashem with every fiber of your being, all of your heart, all of your soul and your mind, you're pushing yourself, mamish, all you want to do is serve Hashem, you want to be a tzaddik, you want to learn, you want to have shalom bias, you want to have be mechanic and children probably, you get rid of all your kas and your kabdonis and your bittul teirah and your laziness, all of that. He wants so bad, so badly to do it. And then you slip up, you mess up. And you want it so bad. So you're all, if somebody wants kedusha and taras so bad, he's always on the brink of yish. He's always on the brink of despair. Because you want it so bad, it's so hard to get there, it takes so much energy, you're almost always ready to give up almost. So I said, why do you think you don't understand yish? Because you're already such a tzaddik. I said, because you don't care. That's why. So it was like, why this whole idea of despair never hit you? Why am I going to despair? I'm such a good... You're not going to despair because you don't care. Because you're not dedicated, you don't care. It's not every fiber of being you want it, but if you want it so bad, and you mess up, it's the biggest despair possible. You know, I told the guy in Moshul. I told the Moshul, years ago there was a guy, Bill Buckner. I don't know Bill Buckner. He was a baseball player for the Boston Red Sox. And Bill Buckner, one time, was the World Series, and there was a ground ball hit him. This is the guy in Moshul, he maybe don't understand. And it was a grand ball, and it was whatever. It would have been over World Series. Boston Red Sox would have won. It was Mamish Gavala. So whatever it was, he put his glove down, the ball went right under his legs, the guy scored, and they lost the World Series. I said, you don't think Bill Buckner felt bad about it? You don't think he had despair afterwards? You want to win the World Series. He said, yeah, I thought he was pretty upset about it. Yeah, he probably talked about yish. I said, what about you? When you go up to Davin Shon Esrit, and he wants so bad Davin Shon Esrit, and still you're thinking about your business, thinking about Shtus of Ahavolim, don't you have despair? Aren't you upset about it? And if you're not, it's because you don't care, not because you're beyond despair. Don't be upset. If your whole life you're dedicated, you want it so badly, and memela, there's yish. So that's Tchias HaMesim. Yitzchak Avinu didn't accomplish anything. He tried, he didn't accomplish. He tried, he didn't accomplish. He tried again, he didn't accomplish. So Yitzchak Avinu is always on despair, mamish on the brink of despair, and the pshat is Tchias HaMesim, Yitzchak Avinu. Why is Yitzchak Avinu brought Tchias HaMesim into the world? Because that's every moment of life we have to have Tchias HaMesim. Tchias HaMesim is not something's going to happen, loss of love, and Mashiach's in a coma, and all the dead bones are going to come back to life, and Tchias HaMesim, resurrection of the dead, gewaldig. Every day in a person's life, you have to have Tchias HaMesim. Every time a person messes up and he speaks Lashon Hara Chalila, you have to say to yourself, "Psh, I messed up from now on, never again." Tchias HaMesim. And a person, mamish, he's about to learn, he's mevatel Torah, and he says to himself, again I messed up. Tchias HaMesim. Again. When you don't accomplish, Yitzchak Avinu is the avoda of working and not accomplishing. And always, if that's what your life is about, and you want to accomplish so badly, you're on the brink of yish. The only etzah is Tchias HaMesim. A constant push, push, push. Person even further and a little further to recreate oneself and push again and recreate and recreate. That was Tchias HaMesim, person have Hatzlacha. And Nachman writes, every mania, everything, every pitfall your person hits, the reason why Hashem puts pitfalls in life is only they should want it even better, want even more to go and be successful. That's life. Push and push and push and be Matzlech eventually. Hashem wants to see the Ritzenis. Hashem wants to see that we want, we desire, we long for, want so badly to go ahead and be Pim Kutayshim and Oiv De Hashem in Tzadikim. We do a quick Chazara and then we're going to have Ma'ariv. Talked about extremism. We have to be extremists in our Avodas Hashem. We have to have meaning and longing for meaning in life. We have to go and be wild. Yishmo is a para Adam. Per Adam's Pshat, it was wild, didn't have any boundaries. So the ticket of the clip of Yishmael is we also have to know have no boundaries. Push ourselves and push, invite and push the envelope. Just like they always push the envelope, it's out of Tumah. We have to constantly push the envelope and pushing, pushing for Kedusha and Tahara. We talked about how Yiddish came about Chayva. We talked about Machrayim Chayva. The last place our Avraham beat them was Chayva. And Chayva, the Zayar Kodesh says, Klipa Kosh Ad Ma'oid, have Kfir and Melach Sdoim, and Ryan, Rishas, Riyas, and Mokim, and Rochik. Avraham Vinus Hashem from far away. And Davka and the Richot from Hashem is where Davka there is the Eir, Davka there, the person has the Avait, and Davka, the person is able to pass that. That's the person has that Tzlocha, that's on the ticket, and Kol Mashiach comes. Talked about how Davka Loit, in a Mokum of curses, Layat, like the Lashon Aramish, Loit, Lamatas Malochis, and the Lamatas Malchis, the person gets those in the Aveira. Davka, the Mokum of Sdoim, that's where Malchim Mashiach was. Both Stodim, both Ammon and Moav were there. And that's how Avraham Avinu was my son Nefesh to get them because he understood that was the ticket of the whole entire world. We talked about how Tchias HaMesim, Yitzchak Avinu, to try and try and try. And if a person doesn't have the yish, Tzapshai is beyond yish. Tzapshai doesn't have yish. Tzapshai doesn't care. A person who cares and wants so badly to be successful in Avaida, wants so badly to daven properly, so badly to learn Torah and Mamish, so badly to have Midas Tevis and to serve Hashem with Kedushin Tarek Shmei Zainayim and Tzidkas Holi Eli and Yonah. If you want it so bad and you mess up, you're always on the brink of Yish. And that's what you need, the Avaida of Tchias HaMeisim, Yitzchak Vino, Tchias HaMeisim, a kind of Chis and his Cheskas and pushing oneself and reawakening and re-giving ourselves life. Shabbizeich HaTaka, to Upsa, whatever historias we have, be extremists in Avaitis Hashem, to push ourselves, push the limit, push the envelope. Vaitin, Vaitin, Avaitin, always have kinds of Tchias Amazim. Every Mani is there just Mechayas once again. Vaitin Tchias Amazim, Vaitin Chaskas, and Vaitin inspiration, and pushing and pushing. Should be Zeichet, who are Tchias Amazim, that we shouldn't remain Mesim in our Avaida. Fakad, become Tchias Amazim, Chias, full of life and Avaida. Zeichet, the Emes of Tchias Amazim, with Mashiach Bukar Vimenu Omen.
What's the thing? This light thing is your voice?